If you're reading your gospel lesson from your Bible, turn to Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. It's found on page 28 of your pew Bibles. This is one of the last two parables Jesus gave his disciples before his crucifixion. I have made it a practice through the years to pay close attention to the first thing that is quoted or said by any person and the last. So, Jesus gives us this parable of the 10 bridesmaids, and then he, according to Matthew, as he has arranged them, speaks the parable of the talents. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied to them, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Weddings are a time of great celebration, but sometimes they also involve a lot of anxiety, frustration, and excessive planning. I officiated at approximately 714 weddings in the good old days of the 80s. There are at least 1.5 of those couples here today. I'm glad to see it's still going okay. Most of them were in this sanctuary, the weddings I did, some at La Venta Inn in Palos Verdes, in backyards, country clubs, on the beach, one on a fishing boat in Redondo Harbor. Joan Hollis and Rosemary Campbell were the wedding hostesses then, caring and competent. And that was one of the toughest jobs on our staff. The wedding hostess is really the key to a beautiful and worshipful wedding. Any dolt can stand up here and read the service. But pulling all those parts together and seating the parents and the ex-parents, not ex-parents, but ex-spouses in the proper place, very difficult. In those days, one of the requirements for the wedding hostess was checking the shoes of the grooms to see if something had been written on the soles there, to make sure he did not have the words "help" or "why me" marked there to be seen by the congregation when he knelt for the concluding wedding prayer and blessing. If those words were there, usually the congregation began with a titter and finally erupted into loud laughter, as if this sacred moment were some big joke. One afternoon, Joan Hollis came to me and said, "The groom has written on the soles of his shoes and refuses to take it off." His refusal was the first time for both of us. I thought for a minute, and then I said, okay, I'll take care of it. As we came to the climax of the service, some of you have heard this story if you have good enough memory. As we came to the climax of the service, I pronounced the husband and wife. I pronounced the bride and groom, husband and wife, led the wedding prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and gave the benediction, all while the couple was still standing. They were halfway down the aisle with the procession before the groom realized his little trick had been ruined. He and his best man stormed back in, berating me for my underhanded, devious act. And I assured him that God was more pleased with how the wedding actually turned out. Jesus used weddings as a background to score a few points during his ministry. This parable from Matthew's Gospel, which we read this morning, is grounded in the wedding customs of his time and culture, first century Palestine. The event referred to in this parable was the last of three steps in the marriage of a couple. The first step was the engagement arranged between the fathers of the two marriage partners. Next was the betrothal, at which time the couple exchanged vows, and the man made payments to the father of the bride and presented her with a gift. The couple then was considered legally married. And yet the marriage was not consummated until maybe a year after that, when the final festivities took place. The bridegroom prepared in his father's house, the bride prepared in her parents' house, and then the groom processed to the bride's house where the festivities began. In the evening, the bride and groom then walked in procession to the bridegroom's father's house for the wedding banquet. While they were on their way, those who'd been waiting to join them rushed out to greet them with torches burning in the night. And so, with this in mind, Jesus speaks of 10 bridesmaids, or maybe just maidens, 5 of them wise, having prepared with ample oil to keep their torches lighted, and 5 silly, foolish, neglecting to carry enough oil needed to last as long as the procession went on and was delayed. The foolish had to scurry to the store to buy more oil, and when finally they arrived at the banquet, the door was shut. And when they pounded on the door, the groom said he didn't know them and wouldn't open. Because of their neglect to prepare, they missed the party of their lives. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. Some are ready. Some are not. Some will feast at the banquet. Some will show up too late." As I read and reread and reread this story, trying to understand the key that will unlock and hold it together, I came to see that this story is about missing connections. The 5 foolish women were unprepared, off getting more oil, and missed the connection with the one they had been waiting for. They missed the great banquet. Have you ever missed a connection? You were too late, maybe too early. Have you ever felt like you were standing on the outside looking in and couldn't find a way to get in? A man I know well, feeling alienated for a period in his life, felt He'd missed a connection somewhere. Whenever he drove down a dark street alone, looking at the lighted windows of the houses of families gathered together, one woman feels left out, as if everyone else knows some secret except her. She struggles with trying to put things together so life will work and she'll be connected, safe. Have you ever felt you missed a connection with someone out there who would care? Someone who would look at you, see your weaknesses and failings, and show you it's okay. You're loved just as you are. Really, that's what Jesus is all about. Connecting us with each other, with our undiscovered possibilities, with the one who made us, whom we've not known before. Jesus connects us with hope and love, energy, purpose. Jesus connects us with life under God's reign, driven by compassion, generosity, justice. God's kingdom is a community of caring people who are connecting more and more. Today, we live in a society, a culture, dominated by extreme individualism. Among a people who seem to be disconnected to the extreme, persons who have been elected to govern the ship of state seem paralyzed, unable or unwilling to slow or alter the catastrophes of growing poverty, hunger, homelessness, joblessness. It may not be where you are, but it is in the neighborhood where I live. And any outcry today for more compassion and generosity is drowned out, lost in self-centered protection of what I have. I really think it's time for we who believe in God's kingdom to take with utmost seriousness Jesus' call to build a society where compassion, generosity, and justice are the highest priorities, the most valued goals. Now is when Jesus' followers must be agents of change in our communities, our state, and country. Until compassion and generosity and justice become the measurement of every legislative act, it's time that we, all of us, work for a new day when normal life is to live for another's benefit and share more than we ever have in the knowledge that we are all connected. Some people interpret this parable as getting prepared for Jesus coming again at the end of the age, a kind of final judgment. But maybe we should think more about a daily judgment. I believe Jesus has come back already. That's what we celebrate in the resurrection as we sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today." The Gospel of John speaks of the Spirit coming now. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' presence among us, now and tomorrow. The very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus announces, "The kingdom is now." When I read this parable, I'm challenged to be prepared for Christ's presence, which comes by us again and again. Today, on Monday, anytime. The party we've waited for is starting in this time and in the place where you live. Don't miss it. Clarence Jordan once said, "Hell is being left out of the banquet." And I would add, because of our foolish silliness. Years ago, when I was starting out in this business back in Texas, the Methodist churches didn't have revivals. We had preaching missions. As far as I could tell, it was the same thing, except we just didn't have an altar call in a preaching mission. Once a year, pastors then would invite someone to come and preach on Sunday morning and a couple of evenings during the week. And one summer, a friend of mine, Hal Caskey, invited me to drive out to West Texas to his little church at Water Valley for a preaching mission. Water Valley is best described as a community, not a town, not even a village. If everybody got together in one place out there, they'd number under 100. So I drove out to this church on flat land, cotton country, 22 miles from San Angelo, no town, no village, just a church. And when I was there, I met a man named George Skeet, farmer, rancher, maybe in his mid-50s, strong, sturdy. His red, weathered face was all smiles, his life infectious. And George told me that he'd come to the church only recently, finally finding the one who gave him purpose and hope, a community of caring people. He said it was the best thing that had ever happened to him. His big regret, one that he thought about every day, was all the time before, when he lived without the peace, the connection with those who knew that life could be lived in love, with those who had come to the banquet of God's reign, a community of compassion, generosity, and justice. Do you hear the commotion out there? I hear footsteps, voices, laughter, singing. It sounds like people coming to a wedding banquet. It must be a big one. What do you say we join them? It might be the time of our lives. Amen.